Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Tomorrow, a group of craft manufacturers will open a new pop-up store at 16 West North Avenue, just west of Charles Street, showcasing locally made Baltimore goods. Two members of what's called the Industrial Arts Collective, the alliance that helped start the shop, are with me in the studio to talk about how the city can better support the growing number of small-scale manufacturers here. Sarah Templin is owner of Radica Textiles, a hand-drawn, screen-painted textile shop based in Baltimore. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And also here is Jeremiah Jones, who owns Sew Lab, a company that sews products for companies in Baltimore. He also owns Hold Fast LLC, a bicycle components and accessories business. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How did you get started making handmade goods?
Well, I actually began in college making sculptures from textiles, and from there became more interested in the surface design of the textiles itself. Drawing on textiles was a natural evolution for me from the sculpture that I was doing, and printing was always interesting to me, so it was a pretty obvious evolution for me.
And how about you, Jeremiah?
I come from a pretty big family of handy people. My father does historic restoration and my mother's a painter. So I was always raised with making stuff rather than buying it. So it's just been trained in me, I guess.
And what inspired creation of this pop-up store?
Well, actually, I would say even to take a step further back, the Industrial Arts Collective came about as a group of makerspaces who are interested in forming an alliance in order to bolster.
Let's go even further back.
Sure.
Makerspaces. What
so
does that
makerspaces
mean?
Is a term for open access facilities where you can fabricate your own products. So, for instance, Baltimore Print Studios could be considered a makerspace because they are a studio on North Avenue for letterpress and screen printing. So they offer courses, but they also offer studio space that you can book to work on your own projects.
And so the Industrial
Arts Collective began as a group of seven makerspaces. From there, it really organically evolved to include designers and manufacturers as well. And since one of our core missions is to support and bolster the local design and maker community, it seemed pretty clear that we should do some sort of maker pop-up shop. So that's one of our first big initiatives is the store.
Are there existing brick-and-mortar stores in Baltimore that would be interested in your products?
Yeah.
Absolutely. 16 Tons is on the Avenue in Hamden. They carry a lot of the products that we make, and their sister store, Double Dutch, which is upstairs, carries products that come out of Sarah's and my shop. So
yeah,
we make the bags that she prints.
So, yeah, tell me about the products. What are some of the products?
Well, we have 80 vendors right now registered, all Baltimore manufacturers and makerspaces, and it is incredibly diverse. It's funny that people think that manufacturing doesn't exist in the city. Well, not funny, but it is not totally true. It just tends to be possibly a lot of smaller manufacturers. So we have, for instance, a bike manufacturer, a drone manufacturer, many printers,
hats,
lots
jewelry,
of hats, jewelry, ceramics, many furniture designers and manufacturers, concrete manufacturers. One person is selling 3D printers. You can actually buy a 3D printer in our store. Dog gear, floor mats, all sorts of products.
Tote bags,
clothing, yoga clothes, women's apparel, lots of leather goods.
Got it.
It's very diverse.
A lot of different
stuff.
Yeah. On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Sarah Templin, business owner, one of the organizers of the pop-up shop, and Jeremiah Jones, owner of Sew Lab and of Hold Fast LLC. They're both members of the Industrial Arts Collective. So beyond selling goods made here in the city, I gather one of your goals is to function as an online resource for collaboration and education.
That's true.
What's that about?
Well, we have a calendar. If you are a member of the Industrial Arts Collective, and pretty much anybody can sign up on our website, wemakebaltimore.com, you have an opportunity to post events on our community calendar. So that could be, for instance, a pop-up shop that you're having of your own, workshops that you're hosting, any kind of meetups where possibly you want to meet other people making products as well. Of course, you can also just go to the calendar and see what kind of events we have on there.
Resource sharing. So some manufacturers or makers in the city might require other manufacturers to make components or part of their process for them. So it's a good network for small businesses like us facing the everyday challenges of running a business.
Jeremiah, your company, SoLab, has 7 employees.
Yes.
And you can't find people younger than retirement age who have the skills to do the sewing work that you need. Is that right?
That is correct. Manufacturing, particularly in our field, which is sewing, so needle and thread, has been outsourced for the last 30 years to overseas nations. So with that went a lot of jobs and a lot of tradition, skill sets passed down. So effectively, we've had to kind of make our own path and create job training programs within our shop to give people the skills and tools they need to.
So this is like an apprenticeship?
Yeah, pretty much all of our employees have come through our shop by way of apprenticeship. It's unofficial. We're kind of a small incubator. So within our shop, we all of our employees, or most of our employees actually, have their own brands that they're working on. So through that process, we let them use our assets, our experience and knowledge to bring their own products to market, or to just to manufacture even. So acting as a consultant. So at the end of the day, we're hoping that our employees are going to branch off and go out and start their own businesses, making their own things to further our advancement in bringing manufacturing back to the United States.
Do you pick up that there is a big interest in Baltimore of people who want to learn to make things?
I hear every day people want to know how to make a bag.
I would second that. And I would say that a big interest of the Industrial Arts Collective is job creation and preventing brain drain. Just so often we hear about people leaving Baltimore because they can't find jobs in a creative field. One thing that we're very interested in with the Industrial Arts Collective is supporting the companies, our member organizations, our member vendors, and their own business development. As they create more jobs, it helps the entire overall community. For every one manufacturing job that's created, it supports 2.5 other auxiliary positions. So supporting manufacturing jobs is a big mandate of ours, both through supporting the individual companies, but also these apprenticeship programs like what Jeremiah is doing.
Well, thank you for telling us about it, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sarah Templin is a business owner and one of the organizers of the pop-up shop. Jeremiah Jones is owner of SoLab and Holdfast LLC. They're both members of the Industrial Arts Collective. The pop-up store will be open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 12 to 8 p.m. starting Saturday through September 26th. It's all located in the D Center at 16 West North Avenue. Got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Maryland Morning is an original production
of Your Public Radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Johnna McCone
and Connor Graham.
We have production help from
Christy Forrest
and Scott Seiss.
Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. On the web at ZEKESCoffee.com.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. Tomorrow is August 8th, significant in Maryland history as the birth date of Cecilius Calvert, 2nd Baron Baltimore, in 1605. He became the first proprietor of the Maryland colony in 1632. He never set foot in Maryland, but governed from England by deputies until his death at age 70, when his only son Charles succeeded him. Cecil's wife was Anne Arundel. We're coming back Monday. Please come along.